Commitment to Excellence podcast. Hope everybody's doing well. Thanks for joining us. I am just going to record a short episode today. We're going to call it a potluck episode. I don't like the phrase potpourri. I don't know. There's just something about it that I find annoying. So we're going to call it potluck, which means we're going to talk about what I want to talk about, and you get what you get. Hopefully, it'll be fun. I enjoy listening to these kinds of podcasts where there's kind of a variety of topics. I don't know if I haven't developed this enough yet to be doing potluck episodes, but you're getting one anyway. So just sort of, it's going to be a quick little check-in for today. I'm recording this on February 2nd, so it's the end of the first month of 2024. And I just thought I'd do a quick check-in on how my goals are progressing in hopes that you are doing a check-in on how your goals are progressing. It's in the spirit of deliberate practice, you need to check in on your goals and the progress that you're making periodically. Set intervals. Maybe those are weekly, maybe they're monthly, quarterly. I see value in doing both. And the more you do that, I think the better your adherence is typically going to be. And it goes back to that old saying, what gets measured gets improved. If you're ignoring the measurements, you're probably not moving the ball forward. So let's see how I'm doing with my goals. So one of my goals was to burn 225,000 calories in 2024 from deliberate exercise. So that work out to roughly, my math was like 4,600, 4,700 calories a week. How am I doing with that? Thus far, I'm crushing that goal, which I thought I probably would. So the end of month one, I'm way ahead on that, and I'm feeling pretty good about it. I'm thinking at some point I'm going to be able to adjust that goal up. If memory serves me, I predicted that when I did the initial goals episode. So that's good. Weight loss, 20.75 pounds a quarter. I have not lost a pound in January. I mean, gained a pound either. I'm just kind of flexing up and down. So haven't lost a pound. So I am not doing a good job with that. I am not being very deliberate with my, well, it's all about the eating. It's not, my workouts are fine. It's the intake, right? So calories in, calories out. It's pretty simple. So I need to dial that in. I am confident still that I've got 2 months left in the quarter. I can do it, but I need to get on it. So a little reality check moment there for me. 1,000 foot miles this year. So that's me going out for a walk, getting on the treadmill, taking a walk, deliberate walking miles for no other reason than to walk some miles. 20.8 a week, which is 2.97 a day. I am off the pace on that a little bit. So I'm averaging just over 2 miles a day at this point. So that is a significant amount, especially if I let it keep stacking up day after day after day. That will become an insurmountable amount of distance I have to cover if I don't get on it. However, my miles the last few days have been trending up pretty aggressively. So even if I go over, if all I need to do is go over by a quarter of a mile a day, and I'll get back on track with that pretty quickly, which is actually what I'm shooting for, at least an extra quarter of a mile, which is right around just under 3 miles a day. So if I go to 3.25, that'll get me there. So I can do that for just a couple of weeks and I'll have it. So I'm off on that, but I'm not sweating that one yet. One podcast a week minimum. I've done that. Every week I've put out one. 1 week I put out two. If all goes well, this is going to be a 2-episode week as well. So if all goes well, you'll get this potluck episode and you will get my first interview, if all goes well. So that's the plan for this week. So I've hit that goal. I plan to keep hitting that goal. There's no wiggle room there, no excuses. I'm on it. The other goal for the first quarter was to finish the rough draft of the book that I'm writing. And my goal to do that was 1,000 words a day. I did not hit the 1,000 words a day in January. Some days I went over, some days I went less. There were a few days that I didn't write at all. However, I believe this morning, I finished the very rough first draft. So now I start editing and expanding, and I made notes along the way, places that I wanted to go back and try to put some research in, or, you know, expand on ideas or thoughts or whatever, and then obviously the entire editing process. So I'm calling the first draft done, and obviously there'll be one or two more kind of go-throughs before it gets to what I would call the formal editing process. But I would say that quarter one goal is accomplished from my perspective. The last goal that I shared publicly was use my time well and efficiently, which is super vague, right? We talked about how vague goals are not good goals. And I knew that, but it was just, I know what it means. It means not laying around and watching a bunch of TV, not staying up late and watching a bunch of mindless. It's mostly around TV, to be honest with you, because if I'm not watching TV, I'm doing something productive. Writing, reading, podcast prep, some kind of, you know, information gathering, working on a project around the house. Interestingly enough, right now I should be doing that. This is me recording this episode at this moment in time is me avoiding working on a project that I need to work on. I'm still going to do it, but I had a couple of things on my mind and I really wanted to kind of knock this out and get it down, and then I can move on from there. So I would say I've squandered very little time. There have been a few days, like weekend days, where in the evening I've watched a couple hours of TV, always with my wife and daughter, though. So, like I've said before, I don't think sitting and watching TV with the family is necessarily a waste of time, especially if you're engaged and not fiddling around with your phone and, you know, talking, just, you know, spending quality time together. I don't think that's a waste of time. So I've squandered very little time in the month of January, and I'm pretty excited about that. And then my workouts are picking back up a little bit. I got a ton of work done on the book. I'm doing a solid job with the podcasts, moving in the right direction. So using time well, I feel like that's a win thus far. So I'm wondering, how about you? How are you doing? I know we're getting to be around the time of year where people who made New Year's resolutions start failing miserably, which is one of many reasons why the whole New Year's resolutions concept does not really do all that much for me. So I like, you know, the goal setting process. I like that better. I prefer that process. I think it's a more valuable process. So I'm wondering, how are you doing with your goals? Are you making progress? Are you moving forward? A 12th of 2024 is over. The entire month is gone. A 12th of this year has passed you and me by. What did you do with that time? Did you move the ball forward, or you're just sitting still? And if you're sitting still, you're probably moving backwards, because the world continues to move with or without you, with or without me, right? And again, this isn't a lecture. This is a sort of a self-reflection, and, you know, I'm asking you to do it with me. Did you do anything to move the ball forward in January of 2024? Because a 12th of the year is over, you're not getting it back. What are you doing with your time? How are you spending it? Who are you spending it with? How are you moving the ball forward? It's not my job to tell you how to move the ball forward. It's your job to decide how you want to move it forward. I'm pointing out that sitting still and not advancing is a very poor use of your time. And the sooner you wrap your head around that, the better off you're going to be. The people that count on you are going to be coworkers, colleagues, friends, family. Everybody needs you to be your best. And that's not sitting on the couch eating Cheetos and watching the CNN. So that's my goal setting check-in for the end of January. I think I'm going to keep doing this on a monthly basis. It's holding me accountable. It's kind of a gut check moment, right? Like overall, I would say I'm crushing it. I would give myself, you know, at least a B anyway, B plus maybe, B plus. Because it's really only one of my goals I'm a little off. The walking goal, I'm a little off, but it's cool. But the weight loss goal is the one that I've made zero progress. So that's unacceptable. So here's a public flogging. That's unacceptable. I need to get on it. But how are you doing? You moving the ball forward? I hope so. All right, the other thing I wanted to talk about, and I've been thinking about this a lot lately, is just how we are, as a society, constantly lowering the bar. When I say lowering the bar, I mean the expectations that we have for people in society, for our kids, especially our kids. This one just drives me crazy. And I guess I'm faced with it on a daily basis, A, because I'm a father, and B, because primarily my professional existence is working with kids and families. That's my wife's primary existence, is working with kids. So we see this all the time. And, you know, I would be lying if I said I've never struggled with this personally. Fortunately, I've never really had to grapple with it too much personally, because, you know, my kids have never asked me to lower the bar for them. And I like to think that's because we have taught them that you just don't lower the bar. But there have been times where I have wanted to protect and rescue, not very often, like I said, because I haven't had to, but yeah, I think of a situation, not, you know, last year was my son's senior year in high school, and he'd gone through his entire school life with never getting in any kind of trouble whatsoever, ever, nothing, not a detention, nothing. And he got into a little bit of trouble during his senior year. He did kind of, you know, stupid thing, like not a big deal, not like a, you know, like go to jail, ruin your life kind of stupid thing, but he did a stupid thing. And there were consequences levied at school for it, which of course I'm 100% fine with. But truth be told, I thought, given all the variables that I was looking at, such as never, ever, ever in his entire school existence had he gotten in any kind of a trouble. It was, as far as I was concerned and as far as I knew, the first time he ever got in any trouble. And he had it was a pretty aggressive consequence. And it cost him some stuff, some opportunities. It cost him. And I was very tempted to try to rescue him from that, or lighten the blow a little bit, because I truly thought that I'm like, this kid's an honor student. He's an athlete. He's never gotten in any trouble. He's a pretty good kid, not super extroverted or outgoing. So, you know, I don't think was ever in like the cool kid crowd or anything like that, but he was a good kid, and he got a pretty aggressive consequence for his bonehead action. And I wanted to try to bail him out. Now, I don't know if I could have, right? Like, that's probably naive of me to think that I could have influenced the decision-making in any way, shape, or form. But I wanted to try to bail him out. And I had to catch myself, because it's the natural instinct of a parent to protect their kids. If you're a decent parent, right? Like, you want to protect your kids. You want to help. You want to be there for them. You want to support them. You want to believe in them. It's normal. It's healthy. It's good. But you gotta check that. Because if every time your kid gets in a pickle, you ask everybody to lower the bar for them, what service are you doing? And maybe not everybody that's listening to this, maybe you're not a parent yet. Well, hopefully you will be at some point in time, because, you know, I believe it's one of the greatest experiences we can ever have as human beings, is to be responsible for another human being and help them grow up and make their way in the world. It's a pretty amazing experience. So hopefully if you're not a parent yet, if you're going to be, and if you're not a parent, you're never going to be, that's fine too. Cause we're doing this all the time as a society. Maybe individually you're not, and I hope you're one of those people. I try hard to be one of those people, but I think we have a tendency to want to rescue kids and bail them out and not ask them to be accountable and always lower the bar. That's too much homework. This homework is too hard. I don't need to go through the procedures that everybody asked me to go through to be able to have certain privileges or access resources. We're constantly trying to cut corners for kids and make the path needlessly easy for them. And what are the consequences? For kids in general, it just teaches them to be entitled and to not have to work and to not be able to be equipped to encounter adversity. And I'm here to let you know, probably most of you know this, the world throws adversity at us from time to time. And if we turn into a jellyfish every time we get smacked in the face with some kind of real world experience, like, what good are we? I was in a meeting yesterday the day before yesterday, that helped sort of spur me thinking about this. And I was interviewing a kid that has some struggles, has some difficulties, has some adversity in their life, right? Like, things are tough for this kid. I was trying to have a conversation, do sort of a informal assessment to make some decisions, really about this kid's future and how I may or may not be able to be helpful. And I was simply asking the child to engage. And, you know, let's be clear, this is despite some adversity emotionally and intellectually, this child is capable of engaging and conversing and having some level of conversation. And the child didn't want to. And that was pretty obvious. And it was hard. And I'm confident it was largely an anxiety thing. It's a new person, new place, new situation. I just don't want to do this. I got it. If I had a dollar for every time I'd encountered that in the last 25 or so years, I don't have a stack of dollars. That's a normal reaction for a kid to have when they meet a new person, especially if there's any complexities about the situation. It's normal for me. When I meet a new person, there's a little anxiety or whatever, right? Like, it's just, you know, that is how it is. The vast majority of time, though, I can wait kids out and kind of nurture them along, invite them into the conversation. And they do just fine. And we do what we need to do. We talk about what we need to talk about. I'm able to make the decisions that I need to bank to move forward one way or the other. In this situation, this kid had, the parent was there, and two professionals, one of which was a licensed clinical social worker, much like myself, or maybe conditionally licensed. I don't know about that. It shouldn't really matter. As I'm trying to talk to the kid has their face glued to a cell phone. And they're just tapping away on the cell phone, doing what I think they were playing a game or whatever. But it was very easy to ignore me with the face in a cell phone. And then the kid starts texting their mother. And I asked the mom, I said, what would happen if you just took the cell phone away from kiddo? And mom looked at me with this look of terror. She was afraid of what might happen if she took that cell phone from the kid. And I'm sort of beside myself. Because to be clear, I'm confident that mom was very afraid, very scared, which is a really sad thing. But there's little doubt in my mind that the reason mom was afraid was because mom had allowed whatever terror exists inside this kid to build over time. And mom has sent very clear signals to this kid that they're in charge. They're running the show. They'll give up the phone when they want to give up the phone and not until. They're the boss. Mom continues to text with the kid during the conversation. And she, mind you, they're sitting like 3 feet from each other. But mom thought the right tactic was to text. And the clinician, the other licensed professional therapist with a master's degree in social work or counseling, whichever, I don't know which in this case, advanced education and theoretically advanced training, is whispering back and forth with the child and trying to bribe the child with a cheese stick and some snacks. And keep in mind, I'm not talking about a three-year-old. Primarily when I'm working with kids, I'm working with adolescents, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, early 20s. I do some work with adults also, but primarily at this gig anyway, I'm working with adolescent children. And the therapist is talking to this, whispering to this kid, like they're a three-year-old. And emotionally and intellectually, this kid is not. They may very well have some struggles, but this kid is not intellectually or emotionally a three-year-old. Clinician's treating them like a three-year-old. Clinician's not doing anything to support mom, to help mom, to increase mom's... And I don't want to hack on this person too much, because I know they were trying to be helpful. And they were just trying to find a way to get this kid to engage. But the way to get a kid to engage is not by teaching them that all of their inappropriate, antisocial, aggressive behaviors are okay. And I just sat there getting angry as time wore on, because I'm looking at this professional who is supposed to be helping mom develop skills to appropriately parent this kid and help this kid develop skills so that they can interact socially successfully in the world. And what this kid needed to do was turn around and have a conversation and warm up to us and engage. And they did everything that they possibly could do to not encourage the kid to engage. So eventually I got up. I said, how about, because there was another person there with me doing this interview. I said, how about all of us grown-ups go out and, you know, I'll kind of give you a tour, and we'll go out and we'll sit. We'll talk. I'll answer some questions, and maybe the kiddo and this other staff person could kind of bond and have a moment to talk without the interference of the adults. Because at that point, I was pretty sure the main reason that this kid wasn't engaging with us was because they were being coddled by mom and by this clinician. So off we go. It's going smooth. I think I've got a great plan. I'm 70% sure it's going to work. So out there talking, I'm answering questions for the adults, professionals, and mom's like fiddling with her phone quite a bit, which I really didn't think much of, but I noticed it, and We were talking for probably 20 minutes. And I said something like, well, they've been gone for a little bit. This is probably a good sign. Hopefully they're talking. And mom said, no, they're not talking. And I said, you just think that or you know it? I said, you said that pretty confidently. And mom said, well, no, I know it. She's texting me and telling me that she's not talking. And mom was texting the kid. So the kid was not engaging with the other person that was in the meeting, trying to engage with her. Mom's texting back and forth with the kid. So the kid has the kid's got an outlet. The kid's not being really encouraged to talk with this person and kind of have a appropriate conversation. The kid's got an out. I just spent the night thinking about how we lowered the bar for this kid, how they lowered the bar for this kid. Mom needs some help. Mom needs some support. Mom clearly does not have the skills to successfully and appropriately parent this kid. And mom has dug herself a very, very, very big hole. And I'm sure that there are some reasons why mom has done that. But mom has spent, I would imagine, years digging this hole, allowing this child to essentially be a tyrant. And the child has been taught to be a tyrant. So why would they be anything other than a tyrant? This is just one example of how we're... And all you need to do, if you want to look for it, is turn on the news on any, you know, traditional news channel tonight and watch and listen. And you will see how we're lowering the bar constantly. We are not holding adults, kids, accountable anymore. We're not holding ourselves accountable anymore. I mean, let's be honest. Like, think about it. Think about your week, your month. How many times do you want someone to lower the bar for you to make something easier, your life easier? I fancy myself a pretty dialed-in person that is committed to pursuing excellence, and I want to be the best that I can be. But I often... I'm like, man, I don't want to hold myself to that standard. And we're doing it to our kids chronically. It's built into every system, the legal system, the educational system. And I'm not naive enough to think that I can fix it or change it, or that things should be the way they were 80 years ago. This is not what I'm advocating for, okay? I'm a bit of an old curmudgeon, I suppose. But I'm not advocating that we necessarily turn back the clock to the good old days. But I am advocating for some common sense. And I am advocating for some awareness. Look around you in the world. And I can't go to the school and make all the changes I would like there. At least not by myself. Anyway, I've tried on occasion. Doesn't work super well. But you can look for opportunities in your life, in your community, in your home. Where are the places that you're lowering the bar? We're all doing it. And if we want to be the best that we can be individually, as a family, as a community, as a society, we need to stop looking for every opportunity to lower the bar. We need to start finding some places that we can raise the bar, that we can ask our young people to raise the bar. We can find opportunities to challenge them. And you see this everywhere. I see this everywhere. My wife talks about it every night when she comes home. I see it at work every day. I see it coaching softball on occasion, not a lot, because currently, like, I'm coaching some girls that have a fair amount of drive, but I see it there too. I for sure saw it last year. I coached rec softball last year. Kids would not show up for practice all week, and then their parents would wonder why they're not playing in the game. They're not playing because they didn't come to practice this week. And there was a rule in this league everybody had to play, but I factored my decision-making about how much people would play, where people would play, how they would play, by did they put in the work? Did they put in the time? The girls that were there every day and worked hard most certainly deserve to play more than the girls who never showed up and didn't work hard. And I mean, sports is a great place. Sports is a great place to see what we're doing to our kids. The participation trophy generation is here and is strong. And, you know, as much as we've tried to change the world so that it's just, you know, pillows everywhere for everybody to land on, that is not the real world. The real world does not give you a trophy for just showing up. And again, all you have to do, look at the workplaces nowadays. I know mine is no different. People want a trophy for showing up. People want a raise because they made it to work 30 days in a row. And, you know, I'm not saying people should not be rewarded for excellent performance. I am a big believer in rewarding excellent performance. I'm also a big believer in rewarding people for loyalty and longevity. In addition to excellent performance, you can't just sit around for 20 years and think, you know, hey, I deserve all the bells and whistles. But if you put the time in, you get the right qualifications, there is something to be said for that. So I'm fine with that. But this participation trophy thing, everybody plays equal. Everybody is a star. Not everybody is. The people that are the stars are the people that put the work in, and they're the people that put the time in, and they're the people that engage in deliberate practice to get better and get better and get better. There's always going to be more talented people, someone that just has this like natural gift. We've all known people like that, athletes that we've played with, people that we've worked with that just things just they look like they come easy, although the research would suggest they don't, especially in the real world, you know, college athletes and that kind of thing. But you'll see it in high school. I played sports with kids in high school that didn't work half as hard as I did and were twice as good as I was. Baseball in particular, I loved baseball, and it didn't matter how much I worked. I was really bad at it. I loved it. I was really bad at it. There are other kids that were on the team that, as far as I know, they never worked out. They just went to practice and did their thing, and they hit home runs. Well, they had some skills and abilities that I have, that I did not have. They weren't good enough. They didn't go on. I'm not aware. I'm not thinking of any of them right off the top of my head that went on and played baseball in college because they weren't good enough. And the reason they weren't good enough is, I'm telling you right now, it's not because they didn't have the talents, because they didn't have the work ethic. Work ethic wins every time in the long run. But that's about raising the bar for yourself and having people around you raise the bar for yourself. It does not bother me at all that I ask my kids to raise the bar and work harder. And sometimes they don't like it. And I know occasionally they're like, nothing I do is ever good enough, Dad. Well, that's not true, but for myself and for them, I want them to always think, okay, like I accomplished something, I did well. Now what? What's next? What can I do better? What can I do more? That is a winning attitude. That is a winning mindset. We need more of that in this world, and we are not fostering it culturally at all. And it kind of makes me sad. It makes me scared. This level of cultural and societal entitlement and just easy living, and everybody's okay, and you can never have your feelings hurt for any reason whatsoever. That's not realistic. It doesn't make sense, and it doesn't make you a very stress-hardy person. And I'm telling you, life's gonna throw some stress at you. It doesn't matter how advanced we are technology-wise and how many resources we have, and there's always going to be something. You're going to get hurt. You're going to get an illness. Someone's going to die. Something's going to happen, and you're not going to be prepared for it, and you're going to turn into a puddle of goo. And I don't mean to be insensitive about this, right? Like, it's okay to have some emotional struggles, but if you've prepared for them your entire life, when they encounter you, you can get through them, and you're okay on the other side. If you haven't, if you've lived the life walking around on pillows and never fallen down and never challenging yourself and never encountering any real adversity, and you got a trophy for nothing, from just showing up or less, what are you supposed to think? I'm just asking you, think about that. What are you doing with that bar of expectations? What are you doing with that for yourself? What are you doing it for your kids, your family, your coworkers? And are you living it up to it yourself, right? I cannot be the guy that sets the bar high for my kids and doesn't do it for myself. I cannot be that guy. I can't do it at work. I can't do it at home. I've got to model it. I have to live it. I have to talk the talk and walk the walk. How are you showing up in your life like that? And I shouldn't have to say this, but I will for the sake of saying it. I'm not perfect, not even close. I just went through my goals for 2024. There are two that I'm not knocking them out of the park. Okay, well, I'm not perfect. We know that. I just admitted it to, the 200 or 300 people that are going to listen to this. Hopefully more. Yeah, well, that sucks. I'm holding myself accountable. I'm being accountable. I'm setting the bar high. I'm putting it out into the world that I'm failing and I don't want to. I'm going to try harder. Are you doing that? Are you doing that for your kids? Are you doing it for your family? You're doing it for your wife, your husband, your partner, whatever. Are you showing up like that? I hope you are. I'm trying to. And part of how I'm doing that is with this podcast, talking with you all every week, putting this stuff out there, sharing my thoughts. So maybe that's not too much of a potluck dinner. You just got the two topics. You get my goal check-in for 2024 so far, end of the first month. And you got my thoughts about lowering the bar. Don't do it. And watch. We all have places that we do this. We've all got vulnerabilities. Watch for what yours are. Pay attention. And think about, do I want to lower this bar? If your kid's teacher sends you takes the time out of their very busy day to send you an email, and you're explaining to them where their kid's coming up short, where they're not cutting it in class, their grades, their attitude, their performance are not what they're capable of, and your response back to that teacher is either nothing or, hey, this is pretty hard for them. Let's make it easier. If that's your response, don't do that. Hold on to that. And here's the million-dollar question, okay? And I talk about this a lot at work. I'm going to talk about it now. When you send the email back to your kid's teacher and you ask them to lower the bar, whose needs are being met by that? Whose needs get met by you asking anybody to lower the bar for your kid or for you? It's a selfish thing to do. It's a selfish thing to say. Don't be that person. Your needs are being met by that. You don't want to deal with it. You don't want to have the conversation. You don't want to push little Johnny or little Susie to be the best that they can be. That's about you. You're selling your kid short. You're selling yourself short. Aren't they better than that? Aren't you better than that? I know I am. And listen, like I said, I'll mess this up from time to time. I'm not perfect at all, but I'm darn well going to try to be, especially where my kids are concerned. And that involves me holding myself to the highest standard that I possibly can. I hope you do that too. I guess that's all I want to say about that today. Thanks for listening to my little rant. There'll be more of these. I enjoyed this. I can't believe how long my rant went on. So thanks for listening. I hope you are doing your best to make a commitment to excellence for yourself and everybody around you. I hope you make today great.